Hello and welcome to this podcast discussion sponsored by PSG Wealth on making the most of your retirement plan. In today's session, we explore the mindset and behavioral discipline that is required to build a secure and sustainable retirement. From understanding the power of tax-efficient savings vehicles and the compounding potential of every rand, to recognizing how everyday spending decisions shape long-term wealth, we examine the real drivers of retirement success. Drawing on insights from behavioral finance, long-term investment strategy, and real-world client outcomes, this discussion highlights why retirement planning is not only a numbers exercise, but a discipline of habits, choices, and perspective. Whether you're already contributing consistently or just beginning to refine your approach, this session offers practical guidance to help you save intentionally, invest wisely, and stay focused on the financial future you want to create. My name is Bua Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Joining me today is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth. That is Adrian Past. Adrian, always good to talk to you.
Hi, Madiwa. Good to talk to you. And hello to everybody listening in.
Now, Adrian, this is something that we've touched on in the past, because in many instances, the whole reason why people are investing to begin with is for that financial security. And in many instances, it's financial security over the long term and especially into those retirement years. So if I'm serious about building long-term wealth, why should maximizing my retirement account and tax-free savings account be my starting point?
Yeah, I think these two areas in terms of product offers quite a few benefits, predominantly on the tax side. So I think most people want to make the most of what they have and make sure that the capital can grow as efficiently as possible. But also at the end of the day, when you enter the phases of your life where you start to utilize some of that money, it needs to be quite tax efficient. And on that journey, hopefully shielded against tax liabilities so that you can have as much in the market growing for you for as long as possible. And if you look at it from that perspective, the retirement annuities and tax-free savings plans are really two very good vehicles, because on the retirement annuity side, obviously you get a tax benefit from your contributions and you can offset some of your income liability to SARS, which is a big benefit. And then on the tax-free savings side, there's no taxes on gains and dividends. So two very good vehicles to approach for new investors. Obviously, they're not voluntary in nature, so it means that they have some restrictions in terms of what you can take out and when. They're aimed at long-term savings and predominantly retirement savings. But that being said, if you're really serious about saving for retirement, you shouldn't be thinking about withdrawing capital out of those accounts in any event. And if that's the case, then that's a very good starting point for new investors. I think, you know, so often that we do see investors, especially young investors, want to approach the new and exciting things, everything from cryptocurrencies to stocks and all those kind of things. But sometimes it's really just the basics. And your entry point should be, in terms of retirement annuities and tax-free savings, should feature very highly in terms of the things that you consider when you start planning out your financial journey and building wealth long-term.
That's actually quite an interesting take. The retirement accounts as well as what's happening with the tax-free savings. And I like the description and the distinction that you gave, actually explaining those benefits. But someone might actually then ask to say, if a person is maximizing on both those two fronts, why might that still fall short of funding a retirement lifestyle, even if someone has done all the correct things on both those aspects?
Yeah, so this is where things get interesting. If you're in a fortunate position where you're earning a good salary and you can contribute up to 27.5% of your salary into a retirement annuity, and that will then be tax deductible. If you're earning a sufficient salary where that amount tops out to 350,000 rand per annum, which is a significant amount of money to save, and you add on top of that your tax-free savings, I think people generally think, well, if I'm earning a salary of around 1.3 million and contributing those two amounts, that's a significant amount of my salary. I'm saving really, really well. But if you forecast 40 years forward, that income is actually insufficient to sustainably replace even 50% of your income pre-retirement. And it speaks to multiple things. People are living longer. Retirement is getting more expensive because you need more money to sustain yourself in the years that you're not working. And if you only have X available in your savings, and the years in retirement are getting longer and longer, obviously the income that you can take on a monthly basis gets lower and lower and lower. Because of all the medical advances and we're getting older, it actually means that you should be saving more aggressively. So from our perspective in the wealth management side, we look at RA contributions and tax-free savings plans almost like hygiene factors. It's like brushing your teeth in the morning. You don't have a choice. You have to do this. But those are the basics. You know, if you want to spray some extra cologne on your cheeks, you need to do something in addition to get more value out and make sure that you're really comfortable in retirement. And that's where additional savings are really important. I mean, it's that time of the year that people start to think about what they do with their bonuses and that kind of thing. And hopefully they're thinking about what they can do with their savings, as opposed to, you know, just spending it all in the malls. But, you know, I think people still grossly underestimate how expensive retirement really is. And in an unfortunate position where you have to make some difficult choices now in terms of thinking about just the holiday season and your bonus, or thinking about also what your retirement's going to look like in 40 years' time and whether you realistically have a sufficient amount of capital put away to fund that.
Adrian, you are talking about and highlighting that relationship between the income that a person gets versus how much they're able to save. And it does sound as if there's almost a balance that needs to be struck there. Yes, you need to be able to live today, but whilst at the same time being able to fund your future lifestyle or for your future self. How should I be perhaps evaluating my spending today in terms of possible impact on my future financial security? You've already told us about the saving piece and the trend on that side, but from a spending point of view today, how do I make that balance work?
Yeah, I think that's quite topical because people do tend to get some bonuses this time of the year. So you've got to think really carefully about what you do with that. But I think where people are really good, actually, is they think about today and the opportunity cost on their existing options right in front of them reasonably well. So should I be making improvements to my home or should I be going on a fancy holiday? And generally, people come to the best practical outcome there and they try to do the right thing. But where things get more complicated is they forget the future self in terms of where I'm going to be in 40 years' time. And then they don't put that on the table amongst the options. And it's also very difficult because there's calculations involved for them to really understand what the trade-offs are. So if you choose the holiday, for example, you understand that the improvements that you wanted to make to the home that you maybe needed will have to wait another year. That's fairly simple. But if you spend money on a holiday versus saving it for retirement, do you really know what the impact is of that decision? So if we use a practical example, if you need a new car, and say the car is 600,000 Rand. If you were to invest that 600,000 Rand for 20 years at a 10% return, that amount will be 4 million Rand when you're 55, if you started saving at 35. So you're actually taking away 4 million from your future self. You're not just spending 600,000 now. So if you were thinking of maybe even pushing it a little bit further for the fancier model and pushing it to 700,000 or 800,000, that decision becomes exponentially more detrimental to your future self. So in that case, I think, you know, there's always a balance. You need to live, life happens. And if you need a car, you need a car, but maybe opt for something a little bit more modest than what you would have liked, appreciating what the real cost of that car is over time, and settle on something that can do the job, but will not compromise your financial security at a later stage when you're older and vulnerable and worrying about medical expenses and those things. Then you wish you could go back in time and make a smarter choice.
It's actually very interesting what you're pointing out, Adrian, because it almost speaks to what's happening in a person's life versus those future considerations. And it almost harkens back to a topic that you and I have touched on many occasions, and that's mindset or, you know, psychological bias, right? Because in weighing up these things, we often talk about the time value of money. And, you know, 600,000 spent today, when you then think about it as perhaps that could have been X millions in the future, that really, you know, sobers one up. But what psychological biases could determine one's ability to actually retire comfortably, even where there's a well-structured plan in place?
Yeah, so you're right. We often talk about these behavioral biases, but I think even, you know, when people often write about these things or speak about them, it largely relates around the investment side of things, like loss aversion and those other biases that we've discussed before. And they remain super important for successful investing when someone's already engaging in investment activity. But the things that we don't talk about as often as an industry actually is on the spending side of things and the planning side of things and the ability to think ahead. It's very difficult for people to viscerally imagine themselves at the age of 70 with a back problem and the inability to pay for a solution. It's almost like you always see bad things happen to other people, and we always tend to think they won't happen to us. And there's actually a word for that in terms of economists have sort of named it our defective telescope. So there's some research on this as well. And it's super interesting because even when people are aware of these things, they tend to think it won't happen to them. It's like I say, it's just visually, it's very difficult to imagine yourself in that situation. And therefore, people don't often think about it. You do from time to time get people that are so fearful that the only thing that they think about is that they might be poor in old age, and all they want to do is save all the time. And you don't necessarily have to go all that way. But I think that is the value of a good financial plan. It enables you to understand what the trade-offs are and what you are really able to do today and what you are not able to do today or shouldn't do today, because what the real cost is going forward. So that balance that you mentioned before starts to become a little bit more visible in terms of where you are and where you need to be. I think people still live their lives to a large extent unaware of what the right balance is. And I think that's really the value of that financial planning component.
Now, Adrian, I'm not a certified financial planner or a wealth expert, but having read up a little bit and spoken to the likes of yourself over these last few years, it does seem like the moment we're in, this great wealth transfer that we keep talking about, is going to illuminate a lot of things about the realities of retirement, what's possible, not possible, what has certain economic headwinds meant or done on, you know, retirement funds and people's ability to retire comfortably. But a conversation like today's one is important to get people into the right mindset and to have the right plans in place. But one of the things that you are pointing out is the fact that even with the right plan in place, there are still all of these things along the way, psychology and things happening today, the immediate needs and wants, all of these things that may keep us from doing well later on. Ultimately, the question then becomes, what differentiates those that actually retire well from those who fall short?
I think information and ownership is probably the two things that I would highlight. I think it's very difficult to plan and make decisions if you don't have all the information on the table. So that information is really important. And then once you know what the trade-offs are, is to then take ownership of where you want to go and understanding that you are in control. I think often what we do see are some misconceptions, right? So things like, I'm already contributing 10% of my salary through my employer, I will be fine. But you haven't really looked at the numbers. You've come to an assumption thinking that will be sufficient, but it's very unlikely that it will. Or in some cases, yes, but the government will pay me a pension. And what we see now is all the pensions from governments and what they've been able to put away, those systems are under immense pressure. And there might be more issues on that front as well. So you need to understand what your predicament is and take ownership and try and manage it. But luckily, you know, you're not on your own. There's very good certified financial planners that can help you on that journey, do the research, get the financial needs on the table, set some budgets, set some goals, give some clear guidance on what's required to achieve them, and then have a plan with clear discipline as how to execute. Because in the absence of a plan, you're really leaving yourself at the whim of misconceptions that are out there. And that's a really dangerous position. And with that as context, you can understand that so few people actually can afford to retire because they're not going through that process. And it's actually critical. Every person should be doing that. There's not a person on this planet that doesn't need to understand what their future will look like and what they need to do to ensure that they can sustain themselves with a decent quality of life going forward.
And that's how we end off today's discussion. It has been a great one, just understanding what people need to do to be able to retire comfortably. And Adrian just giving us a sense of some of the things that people can do and have in place. We began just talking about retirement accounts and tax-free savings accounts and how people can maximize those particular products to be able to position themselves as best as they can. But one of the key things that we were discussing is even with some of those things in place, you still can fall short along the way. And we discussed the many different factors that a person can actually be dealing with along the way. One of the key things that Adrian was talking about when it comes to the plans that people have, I believe the term that he used was a term that's been coined as a defective telescope, simply alluding to the fact that people aren't always very good at peering into the future or projecting what their needs are going to be. I've heard it being said in a different way, where people say, they call it costly confidence, where people are confident that bad circumstance is not going to happen to them and it ends up costing them down the line. Also interesting, you know, just to hear the psychological factors and the mindsets that also play into this discussion, and also, you know, ways in which people can balance the needs for today when it comes to income and spending versus the needs of the future when it comes to maximizing those savings and those benefits. So Adrian, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks again, Madiba. I appreciate it.
So that brings us to the end of this podcast session on making the most of your retirement plan, sponsored by your PSG Wealth. I've been your host, Madiba Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on Spotify, Player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.